today. I invite you, if you have your Bibles with you today, or there's a pew Bible in the rack in front of you, to turn with me to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. This is a passage of Scripture that we've chosen for today on Epiphany Sunday. The prophet writes these words, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice." I love that line. "Because of the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah and those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and they shall proclaim the praise of the Lord." This is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. God, on this first Sunday of the new year, when we think about the season of Epiphany and the day of Epiphany, which is 2 days away, we know it is a season of light. We pray, Lord, that you would produce that light for us today, and that you would help us to know that there's no darkness that can overcome the light. I pray, Lord, that you would bless these next few moments of our sermon, that these words would be your words. And I pray all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. So I'd like to start our sermon this morning with four words. Here they are: arise, shine, light, and glory. It's right there in the scripture lesson that I read for us just a moment ago. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Arise, shine, light, and glory. They're all right there. Let's consider these four words this morning in our sermon time. But here's the thing. I'm not going to take them in that order. I'm going to start with light. I think that we can all say this with some degree of certainty. Light is needed in our world. Amen?
Amen.
Especially on dark winter days. I do better when the sun shines. I do better in daylight savings time. For those of you who like the darkness, that's okay, I guess. But I love coming home and there being plenty of daylight still to go. December the 21st is called the winter solstice. It is the longest night of the year. And after that night, after that day, the days get longer. You know this, right? If Google is right, and you know they're right? 9 hours and 46 minutes today will be daylight. In 3 weeks' time, we get 15 more minutes. And on the end of February, 11 hours and 11 minutes, light. I like light. I have this memory of growing up and visiting my grandparents' house in Conway, Arkansas. Now, what you need to know is that my aunt lived in the middle between two sets of grandparents, one about half a mile away from each other. You could walk to all three. My aunt's house was neutral ground so that neither grandparent would get too jealous. That's where we always stayed. But my grandfather always wanted me to spend the night with him, so one night I did. I was probably 4 years old, and we were in his living room, the front room of his house, when all of a sudden the lights started flickering and the electricity went off. Again, I was 4 or 5 years old. I mean, it was dark outside. No street lights, none of that. I put my hand to my face and I could not even see my hand. It was that dark. My grandfather had a plan. He always had a plan. He got up from his chair, took two steps to the dining room. It's all kind of one big room. And there he had a kerosene lamp. And he took the lid off the kerosene lamp, the glass off the kerosene lamp, He struck a match, and he lit the kerosene lamp and put the light, the globe back on it, and now light kind of filled the room. That night, I learned two things from my grandfather, and this was more than 50 years ago. I still remember it. Here's the first. Light dispels darkness. Light is stronger than darkness. And here's the second thing. When you take a step with a kerosene lamp, the light goes in front of you. Light. Our Bibles, of course, are filled with passages about light, 524 of them. I looked it up. The first one comes just three verses into the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, we read these words. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. In Revelation 22, near the end of the Bible, it says, "And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or of sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Amen." I like that. My favorite passage about light is one that we read right before Christmas usually, where Isaiah 9 has these words, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined." You remember this? "For a child has been born for us, a son has been given to us, authority shall rest upon his shoulders, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." We say that that is the prophecy of Isaiah pointing to the birth of Jesus. Light is mentioned so many times, darkness too, but only half as much. Only half as much. So what that means is that light always wins. Now listen to me, friends. If you are experiencing any kind of darkness of late, take a step towards the light, and the light will guide your way. So that's the first word, light. Here's the second word, glory. "Arise, shine," Isaiah writes, "for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Guess what? Glory's in the Bible too. 600 times the word is used. What is glory? Where can you find it? What does it look like? Glory can be found in bright stars on a cloudless night. An angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. Right? Glory. I like what Frederick Buechner, author and theologian, writes about glory. He writes this, "Glory is God's style." I like that. Glory is God's style, right? He says, when the Bible tells us that the heavens are telling the glory of God, what it's saying is the heavens are revealing God's style. Sunsets, starry nights, dust storms, rainforests, garter snakes, and the human face are unmistakably the work of a single hand. It is God's style. Now, I'll have to tell you, if I was going to add to God's style on that list, I would add sunrises, and I probably would take away garter snakes. I'm not a fan of snakes. I've seen God's glory, haven't you? Matthew in chapter 2 tells us a story of three men, wise men, we've come to call them, who followed a star. They thought it would be the birth of a newborn king, because a star in that time, a new star, a star like that meant something significant. They were stargazers. They were magi. And they followed to the place where they thought it would be in Jerusalem, but that's not where Jesus was. But when they came to Jesus, they bowed down and they worshiped him, and they saw the glory of God. Amen? A little bit later, halfway through Matthew's gospel, Jesus one day takes with him Peter and James and John, kind of the inner leadership team of the disciples, and he goes up on a mountain where his clothes suddenly become dazzling white. Clorox could not do this, right? And he is glorified before them. We call that the Mount of transfiguration, and God is revealed there and then. Light and glory. Now, we have two more words, and I'm going to put them together. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So let's now think about arise and shining. Isaiah 59 tells of a dark time in the people of Israel's life. Their sins, which include injustice, lies, and violence, have separated them from God. But what happens next is that God provides a beautiful image. Arise, shine, for your light has come. I have been told, I've not seen it, I've not been there, but I've been told that if you are on Mount Olive and look over at Jerusalem as the sun rises, it looks as if Jerusalem is coming up out of the shadows. It is a beautiful sight. Google that today, and you will see how beautiful it is. A lot of pictures can be found about that very thing. And Isaiah says it's about to happen. Nations will come to your light. Your sons and daughters will come home. Your heart will thrill and rejoice. I love that line. Your heart will thrill and rejoice. The wealth of nations will come to you. Does this sound familiar? On camels. And they'll bring gold and frankincense. Does that sound familiar to you? Jerusalem is about to be restored. These are marching orders to the holy city. Arise and shine. Now, let me bring this a little closer to home. I don't think we'll have any camels coming through those doors this morning. Maybe. Bill, do you see any camels back there in the narthex today? I saw one at the Baptist church before Christmas, the live nativity scene. I also don't expect for anyone to put a gold bar in the offering plate today, though if you want to, we'll be happy to receive it, right? But what I do expect today is for you to take these words seriously, to rise and to shine. Isaiah is clear when he says, lift up your eyes and look around. So I want you to do that. Lift up your eyes and look around. I'd like to suggest today that it is time for us as a church and us as individual Christians to rise and to shine. Would you all mind if the preacher came out at me today? Is that all right?
Okay.
I am ready to commit again this year to my God and to this church. In my lifetime, I have given my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength to the local church. First job I ever had was working in a church. I was 16 years old. I'm 57 now. You do the math. It's been mine to baptize babies, confirm youth, preach the gospel, challenge people to grow in their discipleship. I can't tell you how many weddings I've performed or how many funerals I've officiated or how many hospital calls I've made or how many sermons I've preached, the good ones and the not so good ones. But I look out at you every week. Are y'all with me today?
Mm-hmm.
Listen. I look out at you, and I look back at you, and I look, and I'm amazed at your potential. At your potential. Out in our congregation, our teachers and community leaders and folks who are retired and folks who are serving and folks who can just change the world, I am amazed by your potential. It's staggering. You had the chance to change the world. And why not start right here in Mountain Home? You have the chance to do that. Will you make one of your resolutions to deepen your discipleship this year, to deepen your faith this year? It's one of mine. Will you rise and shine and serve the church in every way that you can this year? I know the church's not perfect. I know we make mistakes. I do. I already have. Ask Susie, she'll tell you. I make mistakes. But I want to pastor a church, this church, where love is found, where forgiveness is more than words, where God is glorified, where people are discipled, and where a community is changed because of us. Arise and shine. Those are your marching orders. For the glory and the light of the Lord are upon us. Let's not waste it.